Have you ever had the feeling that the opposition to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would finally just stop it from being preached? Have you ever been discouraged sometimes to think that the forces that make for worldliness in the church will finally win out until your church just has no more spiritual life in it? Have you ever been tempted to think that the opposition that there is to prayer meetings will finally just stop all prayer? And the opposition there is to really studying the Bible as it is will finally just cause the Bible to be left out altogether? Has it ever seemed to you that with the church being criticized on every hand and people leaving it out wherever they possibly can, that eventually our churches will just be closed up? Or have you ever gotten discouraged maybe about your own church? Have you ever had the feeling maybe about your own denomination, whichever one it may be? Have you sometimes just been discouraged to think that the way things are going, things are just finally going to wind up and you won't even have a church anymore? Let me remind you of something. There God will raise up help from another quarter. There's nobody in the wide world can stop God. They may be able to stop a particular Sunday school class. They may be able to stop a man teaching. They may take a certain class, a certain man off the staff. They may get rid of a certain preacher, and they may in some sense oppose certain people, but even if a whole section of the church was to turn worldly, God has other ways of doing it, and God is not bound. You and I need to keep in mind that the gospel is just not our idea. The preaching of the gospel is not even the idea of good Christian people alone. And if every one of us who are trying to preach the gospel should be hushed up in some way, and some power was to work along to just stop us in our tracks so that we couldn't manage what we're trying to do, you can mark it down, God wouldn't be at an end. He'd have a way of doing it. He has a way of raising up forces. He has a way of going on with the work in spite of anything man can do. Now, this comes to our mind when we're studying in the book of Acts. We are now in the 8th chapter, and in the 8th chapter I want to read at the 5th verse. Those of you who were listening to us in the last study will remember that we drew attention to how the whole community of Jerusalem persecuted the church. They persecuted the early Christians so badly they had to leave the city. And Saul was the young leader in the whole group, and he made havoc among the church, bringing the men and women into prison, arresting them, bringing them into the presence of the council, and having them actually punished because of their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. But now look at, in chapter 8, the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 5, with all this great big volume of opposition to the gospel, now read in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You can't stop them. God has His witnesses, and they'll find their way out, and they'll tell about the Lord. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And so far as you and I are concerned, we can have this in mind. Philip's preaching produced results. People were actually changed under that preaching, and you can't stop it when it works in the hearts of people. Now verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Isn't that a contrast? The city of Jerusalem that had had the opportunity, that had even heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and had rejected him, had rejected the apostles, had rejected the church, just opposed the whole thing, and actually took action to stamp it out if possible, and drove them out of the city. Now here's another place, down in Samaria. Philip starts preaching the gospel. God blesses the preaching. People's lives are changed, and there was great joy in that city. Let us keep it in mind, folks, even down to this present day. The particular spot in which you are may be discouraging, and the outlook may be gloomy. But God is by no means at the end of his power. Not at all. He will be able to do things far more than you can ask or think, and he will do them to the praise and to the glory of his name. And so we read on now in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, and now I'm reading at the 9th verse, because the problem arose. There are always problems in connection with any growing thing, with any going thing. There will always be difficulties. And here a problem arose, and let us notice how we see it. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. Now, you and I wouldn't pay too much attention to sorcery. I expect you and I would call that witchcraft today. Have you ever heard of black magic? Well, this would be that kind of thing. He was a kind of a wizard. You know, we usually always use the word witch for a woman and wizard for a man. It's people who deal in evil spirits and who have dealings with them as they meet other people. Well, this was a man who, if he'd been in Africa, we'd have called him a witch doctor. If he had been with the early American Indians, we'd have called him a medicine man. If he were down in some sections of our country among certain people, we'd call him a voodoo man. If he was the kind of man that would be in certain other sections of our country, he would be the type of man that could put the hex on you, that kind of thing. He was a sorcerer and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So we have a man in the community down there in the city of Samaria who was widely known and had enjoyed a great notoriety or reputation, whichever you want to say, because he was supposed to be somebody very important in spiritual things, but from a, what I would call in an evil fashion. And to whom they all gave heed, people really respected him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Apparently he was able to accomplish things, and he could bring things to pass. And everybody, as it were, bowed down to him and felt, "Here is the really big man." To him they had regard, because of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. He had used various methods for conniving to gain control of their attention and of their minds, and built himself up in their estimation as being somebody really important. Verse 12, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And that means they got out from under this sorcerer's influence. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and were set free. And we read on, "Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." That's a strange thing. We want to watch this man. He is a man who believed also. Everybody else believed, so he believed. Everybody else came into the church, so he came into the church. And this is a man who later on was going to cause trouble. I don't know that I want to make too much of this, but you know, in our churches, and especially in young churches, and sometimes in smaller churches, maybe in your church, maybe you have some man or woman in there who sets himself or herself up as somebody big, somebody important. And the people are inclined to think they are, inclined to think that person's an important person. And especially when that person makes a profession of faith, and they join the church, and they sound as if everything's all right, they were always inclined to be the leaders. They always wanted to push forward to the front and take charge. And they'll start up in a church like small church, and they come in and they take charge. One of the troubles, one of the perils of a new congregation is to have some man or some family, sometimes some woman, that'll move in and take charge. She's somebody that in the community everybody else has looked up to, and you know, it's a strange thing that causes people to look up to another. They may look up to them partly in fear, partly in curiosity, partly just from excitement, and partly because they want to get some benefit from them, whatever it is. Some people build themselves up quite a reputation in the estimation of other people around about, and people talk about him, oh, that's a great person. You say, why are they so great? What have they done? Well, they're just great. They just got power. When they're for it, you'll go, and if they're against it, it won't go. That kind of thing. And we're going to see that this man, Simon, caused trouble in the church to which he had come. But I always speak of him, when I speak about this man, I call him the also Christian. He came in also. Everybody else came, so he came. And we've got people like that who are being inclined to come along with us in church. And we have it in many, many ways. Those of us who have been interested in Bible study and in Bible preaching can remember that in recent years, some time ago, it was very unpopular in certain circles to pay any attention to the Bible. And then the attention to the Bible became popular. It looked as though the Bible really was the source of our strength. And suddenly we had a big rush of folks that came in and all began to talk about the Bible until we had a whole lot of people come in and take over Bible teaching who really, who in heart and soul, were not really dedicated to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, as we've gone along so far, I wonder if you've noticed the people that have come into our attention in the last several studies. For we had Stephen. You remember that man? With a face like as an angel. They killed him for believing. There was Saul, the young man that was bitterly opposed to the gospel. There was Philip, who in the midst of all the confusion and persecution went out and preached and won souls. Now we have Simon, some big man, local community, who joined the church to see what he could get out of it. We ought to watch these people. So much of the gospel is included in the lives of individuals, just as it is in our own. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to be found faithful. Make us the kind of persons that could serve Thee. Give us the grace to walk humbly in Thy sight. And give us also, our Father, the grace and the faith to be close to Thee so that we will not be impressed with people, but only with God. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.